You may remain standing. Please take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. My message this evening is learning as you go, learning as you go. And, you know, that's a true statement there, isn't it? We learn as we go. Huh? Isn't it amazing how much the older we get, the more we understand how dumb we were. Isn't that about it there? You know, man, I wish I knew what I know. I wish I knew when I was a teenager what I know now. And I forgot more than most teenagers know today anyhow, but I can't remember, but one of the things that we learn, and we learn as we go, and we learn by trial and error. Sometimes we've done some foolish things, and we think, that don't work, and, we learn the hard way. But the title of the message tonight is Learning as You Go. 1 Kings chapter 17, story very familiar to us, but I want us to kind of focus our attention on the last part of this chapter here. So we're going to begin reading verse number 17. I will talk about the first part of the chapter, but we won't read the whole chapter. But I want us to focus on starting verse 17, and we'll read on down through verse number 24. I'll read 17. You join me on verse 18, so on. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is truth. Amen. Let's ask God bless. Now, Father, thank you so much again for the opportunity to stand at the pulpit and preach. Lord, I need you. I need your power. I need your strength. Lord, I need your wisdom. God, we pray that we would have receptive hearts and minds tonight. Lord, I believe with all my heart that this message could save a lot of heartaches. Help us to understand. Help us to take a story that is familiar to us. And Lord, may we look at it afresh tonight. So, Father, bless. If there's somebody not saved tonight in this room, I pray you save them. And God, I pray you'll speak to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The story of Elijah at Zarephath and the widow has been told many, many a times. And of course, I'm sure preached many a times. I look at my Bible here. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, looks like 9 messages I preached from this. And it's not, I didn't study. They were all different messages. Oh, there's another one. What did I say? 10? 9? 9? Okay, so that makes 15. And nine of them or 10 of them there that are preached. All of them are different, but we looked at different parts of this portion of Scripture. And it just, once again, makes me realize how wonderful the Bible is, that we can take it and just keep squeezing it, and God gives something else and something more and something more. When you think you've taken it all and got everything out of it, you look one more time and there's something else there. But we've preached this, and you've heard the story, and like I said, I've preached it many times, and I know other men have come and preached at this pulpit and then preached from this portion of Scripture. But we remember, just to kind of refresh our minds, remember that God had told Elijah to go to Ahab and tell him some news. In verse number 1, He said about that, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And God said, there's not going to be any rain or dew for these years. And you think about it. It gets rough when there's not rain for a week or two, and maybe for a month, maybe a couple months, and you look and think, man, how bad is it? And yet we're talking here, years are going to go by. You're going to find out. And he tells Elijah to go to Ahab and tell him there's not going to be any rain, not going to be any dew. And Elijah did what God said. And but God had also said this to Elijah. He said, you go and you tell Ahab what is going to happen. And don't worry, I will take care of you. You know, when God makes a promise, we talked about this morning, when God makes a promise, he keeps his promises. You remember, Abraham and Sarah felt like, well, God, you're not going to keep your promise because we're old. No, God was going to keep his promise, and God did keep his promise. We were assured of that. We saw that this morning. But God had told Elijah, he said, I'm going to take care of you, and told him that he was to go to the brook of Cherith, and he would drink from that brook the water that he needed. But, of course, we know that you need something to eat, too. And God sent some ravens. And again, I always think of that, and I think it's kind of funny to me that he chose a raven. I thought maybe something a little bit cleaner, because I've seen those birds on the side of the road eating everything that's dead. But I guess maybe this way it was cooked food, amen? And it's laid out there on the desert and got cooked, and then the ravens brought it to him. That's the way we'll look at it. But anyways, there the ravens brought him food. And so what happened? God said, hey, you do what I tell you here. And God said, I'm going to take care of you. And, of course, we know that's what happened. In fact, look what it said in verse number 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Now, I want you to notice the first part of it. He went and did according unto the word of the Lord. What God told him to do, he did it. He obeyed God, didn't he? He obeyed God, did what God said, God told him. And understand something, God tells us things to do too. Now, God does not speak audibly to us as he did back then, but they did not have a Bible back then. But we have a Bible, God has spoken his word, it's recorded here, and we, I believe, are as obligated as Elijah was to God to obey God's word. And so Elijah obeyed God, and he went and he did according to what the word of the Lord was. And Elijah was learning something by doing this. He was learning to depend upon the Lord. So here's Elijah. God's told him, go and tell Ahab. He's trusted God that Ahab would not kill him. He's told Ahab what God said. Everything went fine. And then God said, all right, now I want you to go down. I'm going to protect you. But you go down to the brook Cherith, and I will that water will be flowing. Remember, he said it's not going to rain for a long time. He said, you go down there and there'll be a brook where you'll be able to drink, and I'll have ravens come and feed you. You won't go hungry. And what did he do? He did what God said, and he went down to that brook, and God kept his promise. But something happened. The brook dried up. We all know the story. Brook dried up. Now, picture, you know, we have the blessing of knowing the whole story. Elijah didn't know what was going to happen. But he went and was obeying God. And all of a sudden, it's like if we could just put out of our mind what we know what happened and just kind of put ourselves in the shoes of Elijah, I think we would go there and say, man, this is great. Isn't God good? Boy, he is. Look at that water keeps flowing and the food keeps coming. And then we wake up one morning and the brook's dried up. I'm thinking, wait a minute. I thought God's supposed to take care of us. And God's made a promise for that, hasn't he? But the brook dried up. God, you're not telling the truth. No, God was still going to keep his promise. He was just not going to do it the same way all the time. And so the brook dried up. And can you imagine Elijah saying, what is wrong? What did I do? Now, I look at this over and over again. I don't find that Elijah did anything wrong where God said, all right, I'm going to punish you now and stop the water from flowing. I'm going to punish you now. I'm not going to let the ravens bring you food anymore. That's not what was happening. Why? Because Elijah was obeying God. He was where God wanted him when God wanted him there. And so there he is. And his situation looked I mean, great that God was taking care of them, of him. But then all of a sudden, the brook dried up. Now, the question is, was Elijah obeying God? He was. But the brook dried up. We have this mentality of thinking that everything is going to go all right unless we do something wrong, and then it's not. Sometimes difficult times come even when we're in obedience unto God. And that's what was happening here. And so here's the brook has dried up, and I could imagine it comes to his mind. What am I going to do now? Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, Elijah. You're going to obey God. You're going to listen to God, and you're going to trust God. And we all sit in church tonight and say, boy, that's right. That's what he needs to do. You and I need to do the same thing. When we obey God and we take some steps and all of a sudden something happens and a difficulty comes, God is not bad all of a sudden. God is still good. Understand, God might have something else down the lane, down the way for you. Just trust God when those difficulties come. I mean, it was a difficult thing. He had no food, no water coming that he could see of, but God had it all planned out. We know the story. So what did God do? God gave him some more direction, didn't he? Now remember, God directed him to go to the brook Cherith, and he went. God took care of him. Now, when the brook is dried up, God said, I want you to go, and I want you to go to Zarephath, and there is going to be a widow lady there that's going to take care of you. Now, I can imagine Elijah thinking, okay, Lord, I know you took care of me, and I really believe you're going to take care of me again, but a widow lady. Now, understand, in those days there, I believe that usually it was the widow ladies who were poor. They didn't have anything. Now, Elijah is expecting this widow lady to take care of him. Can you imagine his mind? It's going like, how is she going to take care of me? She's a widow. Her husband is not there any longer. He's not able to take care of her. She's probably not wealthy at all. I mean, but what happened? God said, go down there, and there's a widow that's going to take care of you. Was there a widow? Yes, there was. And we all know the story how that God was going to take care of him. So what happens? He says, all right, God, I'll go down there. I'm going to go down to see this Zarephath. And I know you said there's a widow. And so he goes down, and what's he do? He sees the widow lady. She's out there gathering sticks. He begins to talk to her a little bit. And he sees her gathering these sticks. And all of a sudden, he asks her for something to drink. And then he asks her for something to eat, too. Now, remember, God had told him to go here to Zarephath. God had told him to go to the brook of Cherith, and God took care of him. So God said, I want you to go to Zarephath, and I believe he knew this. And God told him, he said, I will take care of you. First of all, at the brook, it was the water that was flowing and the ravens. Now it is a widow woman. And so God says, I'm going to take care of you. And I think, you know, Elijah's thinking, well, Lord, I'm really going to believe you. But I'm not sure how this is going to work with a widow lady. She's probably not very wealthy, but I believe I'll be all right. So he goes there and he finds her collecting these sticks here. And he tells her, get him something to eat and something to drink. And then she tells him this, that she has very little, that she's gathering some sticks to make a fire. And she's going to get what she has and put it together. And her son are going to eat it, and they're going to die. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound too comforting. The very person that God said was going to take care of me is planning on eating her last meal with her son and dying. If we were to write that out as a plan, I'll tell you this, we wouldn't write that out as a plan. But God knows what he's doing. Elijah looks and says, how is this working out? Lord, I trusted you by the brook and then it dried up. Why, I'm thinking, why, that brook should have kept going and going and going. But what happened? It dried up. And then you send me to this widow, and she's going to eat this stuff and then plans on dying. But God said, you go there, and I will take care of you. So my question is tonight, was Elijah in God's will? Was he? He was where God told him to go. He was at the very house he was supposed to be at Zarephath. He wasn't down the street somewhere. He was at the very place, I have to say, was right smack dab in the center of God's will. And it doesn't look too promising. You know, God's will sometimes to us doesn't look too promising. But God's will is always the best place to be. And we know by reading the story, we know that God took care of him. So when we look in Elijah, here he is. I can just imagine thinking, Lord, this just doesn't make sense to me. I know you've taken care of me all along the way, but now, Lord, this seems like when the brook dried up, I thought, what can happen now? But yet you say, go here. And now I've got a widow lady that I have my doubts about. And now I think I was right. She has so little, she's going to die after she eats what she has. I wonder if Elijah said, Lord, what did I do wrong? You say, why would you think that? Because you know when difficult things and troubles come in our life, we sometimes say the same thing. Either that or blame someone else. But we'll go, what did I do? Or what did I do wrong? Do you know what Elijah did wrong? As far as I can see, nothing. And yet he doesn't have cupboards of food and barrels of water at this point. Water's dried up, the ravens aren't there, and now there's a poor lady, and she's about to die. You see, you can imagine Elijah thinking, Lord, is it something that happened in the past in my life? And Lord, are you punishing me now? And that's what we think sometimes too when difficulties come. In fact, sometimes that's the way we are when we judge other people when difficulties come in their lives. Well, they must have done something bad. Man, they're having difficulty. They must have done something wrong. Well, we'd have to say that about Elijah here, wouldn't we? What'd you do wrong? And I wonder if Elijah thought that. No, you know, see, it wasn't God punishing Elijah. You know what God was doing? God was perfecting Elijah. He was perfecting him. You know, Elijah was going to learn some lessons from the trials and the difficulties that he was going to go through. You know, sometimes in life we're going to go through some storms. It's going to happen. Say, preacher, sun shining bright like it is outside right now. It's sun shining bright in my life. I don't have any problems. My health is fine. You know, I've got money in the bank. And I mean, everything just seems to be all right. And we look and we say, you know, that just seems really fine. But that's not the way it stays. And the trials come. Yes, I believe we get ourselves in problem when we get out of God's will. But I'm going to say this tonight. Even in God's will, we're going to have some difficulties. There are going to be some storms in our life, but I believe this, that God wants us to walk on the waves of those storms that come into our lives. Not lay there and just fall under the weight of the waves coming across us, but that we might learn to stand up and keep on going. I believe this is what God was trying to show Elijah here. He was saying, Elijah, when the troubles come and when you go through the valleys, understand this, that Jesus said, I'm the lily of the valley. Why, you know, he's there in the valleys too. God was not correcting Elijah. God was not judging Elijah. God was perfecting Elijah. Elijah learned, when I go into Ahab, God, I need you to take care of me. And he learned that God would take care of him when he went before that king that could have his head cut off. He learned when he went down to that brook that God would take care of them with water and food from those ravens. He learned when he got there to that house how that woman, what we know the story there on how that she went back and she got him some food and got him some water. And look at verse number 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil and cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Wait a minute. Can you imagine? This man had some faith. God was not punishing this man. God was perfecting him. God was doing something in his life. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of the meal of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. You think about what was happening here. God was saying, hey, listen, now if you just trust me. And again, Elijah says, wow, look at how this is turning out. Why, this is great. I mean, what a great miracle. Here it was, it looked like not very promising. And then the food, that barrel of oil just stayed full. That meal just stayed full. God was taking care of. And so here's Elijah. My imagination makes me think this. Here's Elijah. He's got this nice place to stay. In fact, we read there he had his own place there at her house. And he's got a nice place to stay. He's got food to eat. I have a feeling this little lady took good care of him. I believe she made sure that his shirts were all washed and pressed and his socks were all rolled up with the right colors. I'm not sure if that's in the Hebrew. But, she took care of that man. She was so glad that he was there. Can you imagine how happy she was that Elijah came along? She was about to die, and now she's got plenty every time she pours it out. I imagine after the first time, she looks at, man, I can't believe it, it's there. I wonder how long that's going to last. Boy, after a while, she's like, man, this is great. God is good. God brought this man of God to my house. And Elijah's saying, man, God's good. He's taking care of me. I'm here. Everything's all right. I'm in God's will. He was. And things were going well with him. And then all of a sudden, something happened. Verse 17. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. Oh, that kind of put a damper on things, didn't it? I can imagine a woman thinks, boy, this is great. You know, man of God came here and God's blessing our home. And it's been nice to have the company of Elijah here. And he's a man of God. God has his hand on him. And boy, this is great. God's been blessing, giving us oil and meal, and we're able to do just well here. Remember, there's no rain, and yet they're doing well. But something bad happened, and the boy got sick, and he died. I can't imagine the hurt that mom must have went through that day. Right? Are you listening? When you go home tonight, I can imagine. You know, she's thinking everything was going so well, and now my son, he's dead. How could it happen? I wonder if we walked to Elijah and said, Elijah, what do you think about this? He says, I don't quite get it. I know it's God's will for me to be here. And we've seen God's blessing here. But all of a sudden, something bad happened. You know, if these folks were the average Christian, they would have thrown up their hands and walked away. But they didn't. That teaches us something tonight. When troubles come, never throw up your hands. Realize God's not punishing you. He's perfecting you. You see, God's ways don't always make sense to us. Go with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. I know I've preached from this a lot too. We've read it many a times. Might be a good place for you to go to when you sometimes can't figure out why things happen. Look at this, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts, this is God talking to him, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Told you, that's who's talking here. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, God sees things differently than we do, don't we? You know, if we were riding along with Elijah, we'd look at him and say, what'd you do, Elijah? Why is God letting this happen now? Elijah, you must have done something. But that's not what happened. Elijah was right there. God had something going on here. You know, I was telling you this morning, my Sunday school class, we were talking about The Apostle Paul, you know those epistles back there in the Bible are called prison epistles? And the Bible says that he was a prisoner of Christ. I believe he was saying this, I am where God wants me to be. He was in prison. You and I will look at it and say, what did he do wrong? And we would do the same thing if it happened to us. God, where are you at? God, I don't believe you're letting this happen. God, what are you doing? Are you bringing something down upon me? Are you punishing me? Apostle Paul was one of the greatest Christians in all the world, if not the greatest Christian. You see, even when the Lord's ways don't seem to make sense, we can still trust Him. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, no doubt the widow woman thought how great it was to have the man of God Elijah there and the blessing of the oil and the meal. It just never ran out. And I could imagine her saying, you know what? Can you imagine some evenings they're sitting around and the little widow woman, she comes over to the preacher and says, preacher, you need anything? He goes, do you have any Susie Q's? Maybe he said that. I'm not sure. But he says, no, ma'am, I'm fine. You know, I can imagine if she tells him goodnight, she says, boy, God's good, isn't He? He was. She goes back to her room, tucks her little boy in. She lays down her bed. She goes to sleep. How comforting it was knowing there was a man there to take care of things if something happened. And I mean, she just thought, boy, God's so good. Elijah lays down and says, God, he's got his hands behind his head, laying there on his pillow, you know, and he's thinking, God, you're so good. I didn't think it was a good idea going down to Zarephath with a little widow woman to take care of me, but wow, this is awesome. I not only got food to feed me a meal, but I've been fed for all this time, and I got a room I'm taken care of. And I can imagine he looks up to heaven and says, God, you're so good. And then the next day, a scream comes from the lady. He said, preacher, come here. And the preacher comes running in. What's wrong? My son, he's dying. And he looks and there's no breath in him. He's died. God's still good. I say, God's still good. God's still good. Imagine her life. It felt like her life had shattered. She's heartbroken. She knew that there was a drought. She knew that they were about to die, but you know, can you imagine after the man of God came there, everything was fine. And I have a feeling she thought, we're going to be just fine. There was still water. There was still meal. But her boy lay lifeless. Tough, tough thing to go through. And it got to her. Look at verse 18. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? You see what she's doing? She's saying, Elijah, I got a feeling this is your fault. Think about it. Now Elijah, you know, I'm looking at both sides here. I see her, she's heartbroken, her son's just died. Elijah, he's probably still like, I don't understand what's going on. Everything's going well. We've been bragging about how good God is. And now the bottom dropped out. The boy has died. And now she's blaming him. And I can imagine him thinking, wow, how come I'm getting blamed for this? It wasn't Elijah's fault. Are you listening? It was not Elijah's fault the boy died. But right away she said, what have I done? Why do you for you to bring this upon me? And now, what is it? My sins? My past? I think she was saying, I know that I've sinned. You bringing that up now? Are you been taking that to God and now I've got this happening here? Again, God was not judging them. God was perfecting them. If there's anything we learn tonight would be this. When the troubles come in our life, God's trying to perfect us if we're in God's will. I'm afraid it's a sad thing that many times we want to do God's will. When things don't go exactly like we want to, we want to go scampering off and run from it. You don't run when God says stay, you stay. You only go when God says go. That's what happened here. But even when the troubles came, God said, I have something for you. This morning. And Elijah probably looked at all the situations and said, this can't be right. And the woman looks at the situation now and says, it can't be right. And now she's all upset about it. And I understand. But I also know this, that sometimes God allows His children to go through some fires in their life. I mean, this wasn't the only one. We think of Job. Did he go through some fires? Well, he did, didn't he? Well, Abraham did also, and Joseph, the Apostle Paul, the disciples, all went through troubles and trials there. But hey, wait a minute. God took care of them through those troubles and trials. And He's the same God that we have this very evening. But why does it happen? Well, I think sometimes that we might trust God and not external sources. You know, I believe this. I believe it got to a point where Elijah was trusting the water to keep flowing and the ravens to bring the food. Wait a minute. It was God keeping the water flowing. It was God that sent the ravens. Amen. You know, missionaries sometimes will look and say, well, you know, the money is down. And I think, well, God, you must not be. No, understand. It's not the churches supplying the need. It's God supplying the need through the churches. God will take care. Maybe it might learn to rely on Him more perfectly. Sometimes it's so we might be brought to a place of utter dependence upon the Lord. You know, when you have nothing, you always have the Lord. I'm afraid a lot of people never get to the place and understand how important God is, because they've always relied on that bank account and relied on everything they have. And there's sometimes things happen in your life that you have no control of. But let me tell you this, God's still good. God's still good. You see, when you're low, you need to look up to the Lord. And I believe this, the faster you look up, the faster you'll be lifted up. This little widowed woman thought the man of God was hurting her. But it was a storm of perfection. A storm of perfection. Our problem is sometimes we focus on our hurt and how we feel rather than focusing our sights upon the Lord. God's good when things are going well, but God's good when things are not going well. But what do? What do we focus on when things aren't going well? The things that are not going well. Amen. This widow was devastated. And I'm sure Elijah was too. Because he looks and he thinks, Lord, I've been obeying You step by step. God, I went to Ahab like You said. I went to the brook like You said. I went to this widow's house like You said. God, I haven't moved. I've been here because You told me to come here until You move me on. And Lord, I've been here. Why is there difficulties? Lord said, I'm trying to do something in your life. We're not much Christians when the difficulties come and we collapse. Our faith is easy when things are going well. But our faith needs to be strong when things are not going well. Everything seemed to be going all right there, but all of a sudden the boy has died. You know, I thought, how defeated and discouraged he must have felt. Look at verse 19. We see a little bit about Elijah, how he was thinking. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode, laid him upon his own bed. Now think about it. Here he is. He's got him. Right away you start looking at this saying, well, I don't see any problem here. But notice what he says now. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought what? Evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son. Lord, if You also brought something bad upon her, why it looked like something bad. Wait a minute. You know why we sit here so comfortable this evening? Because we know how it ends up. We go, I'm not looking sad at this because I know that he was made alive. Understand something. When it's your situation, that's what I'm trying to get at. When it's your situation, we need to still trust God. So Elijah said, Lord, I mean, look at how he got to the place. He says, Lord, You brought this evil here? You allowing this evil to come down upon them here? And he cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" He said, "God, you killed her son?" You know, I'm thinking, Elijah, wake up. God's still on the throne. But you see, what God was doing was waiting for Elijah to do something. But Elijah was getting discouraged. You know, I think one of the biggest tools of Satan on the Christian is this: discouragement. Discouragement. I mean, it happens to us all. We get discouraged about some things. Right away, what do I do? I just throw in the towel. Well, I might as well give up. This morning, we were waiting. Everybody's kind of running a little slow this morning. I told my wife, I said, "Give them 2 minutes. If nobody shows up in 2 minutes, we're going home." She looked at me like, "What?" I was kidding. I wasn't going home. And I knew she was singing the special. And I said, "Just go in there, sing your special, so we'll be happy and we'll go on home then." And I knew I knew that there were a lot of folks that were sick. And I'll be honest with you, I sat back there and I started getting discouraged. But you know what? God brought us here, didn't He? All of a sudden, it looked like the bus came in. People started coming in. The parking lot started filling up. I mean, you know how many we have. Not a whole lot this time of year or this time in these days. But you know, sometimes we get a little discouraged, and I believe the devil wants to beat us down with discouragement. And so here's Elijah. He's obeyed God and moved everywhere God told him to go. And to me, it looked like he took every step that God wanted him to take. And in the meantime, God gave him food, gave him water, and gave him a place to live miraculously. But now God's saying, "I'm waiting for you to do something, Elijah." And what did Elijah do? Verse 21, "And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. Remember, he just complained and griped, "God, why'd you kill him?" But he didn't give up and say, "Well, God wants him dead." He didn't do that. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Wow. That's awesome. I mean, I sat in my office this week, and I was going over this, and I thought, can you imagine that? Here, just a few moments ago, his mom, little boy's mom, is crying, screaming, "I mean, he's dead, and Elijah comes down there, and, "God, why is this happening? Give me the boy." He comes up there, lays on the bed, and says, "God, I'm going to pray now." It's almost like, I know it's probably not going to help, because you killed him. "God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay my body down on him. I'm going to do what I can." Let me tell you something. It was not Elijah that brought him alive. It was God who brought him alive. And that boy raised up that day. I think, you know, here's Elijah, and he's laid himself down 3 times on this boy, and the boy revives. How do you think Elijah responded to it? "Oh, see, he's breathing now. Get up off my bed. Gonna have to change sheets. I don't want no dead body being laying on the sheets of my bed." You think he was excited? Imagine, Elijah looks down. The boy's laying there, and all of a sudden he starts breathing. Elijah looks at his chest moving. Puts his hand up over his mouth and nose. He feels air. Boy sits up. I don't know about you. That's some shouting around there. The boy gets up. Elijah's thinking, "Wow, I have a feeling the words came back to him that had forgotten for a little while, and that was this: God is good." Why, the boy was dead and now he's alive. Well, wait a minute. Now he says, "Come on, son, take my hand." The old boy takes Elijah's hand. They're coming out of that loft. I was telling my wife this the other day on the way home. I said, can you imagine? There she is at the bottom of the steps. She's got tears in her eyes. "Oh, my son. God, I don't understand this." All of a sudden, the door creaks, you know. Here comes Elijah walking down out there like this, but he's got his hand back here like this. He says, "Ma'am, look here." Can you imagine the joy that was in her eyes? Could you imagine the tears start flowing down? And he says, "Mommy." And all of a sudden, he runs down to her, and he jumps in her arms, and they're hugging, and they're jumping up and down. Elijah, tears probably, I believe, tears out of his eyes, saying, "God, you're so good. God, you're so good. I didn't understand it. I couldn't see why would this happen. But God, you were doing something in my life. You were perfecting me. You weren't judging me." And I believe God judges sometimes. We're wrong. But I understand this, that there's not a person as good as you may think you are. And you may be doing really good, but God sometimes puts some roadblocks and some waves in the sea and puts some difficulties that come to kind of perfect us. What's it take to stop you? This is a crazy thing. Sometimes because someone said something mean to you. Elijah was, when the water quit flowing, God was saying, "I'm teaching you something, Elijah. There's no more food coming in." God said, "I'm taking care of you. You watch and see." "Lord, it's a widow. What's she going to do?" "Well, you watch. It'll be all right." And it was. And everything's fine. And they're back together again. In answer to God's prayer, to God's man as he prayed, in answer to his prayer, God lifted that boy up. Now, I don't know. I kind of thought, if I was to write the storyline, I would have written it a little bit different. I would have said, "Elijah, send a letter to Ahab. Because the guy's a mean guy and he might kill you." And if Elijah could choose it, Elijah would say, "God, all right, you want me to go somewhere? How about Howard Johnson's?" You remember Howard Johnson's? Remember? You say, why would you say that? Because Howard Johnson's always had a restaurant with it. Remember that? Here was a hotel. That's where we stayed first night. The guy gave us a room with people in it. Can you believe that one? Went to the room, had purple luggage. I go to the door. We unlock the door, and a chain jams on it. And I'm thinking, it must have stuck, and I'm trying to get it undone. And then it hit me. Someone's in the room. Our first night as husband and wife. It's scary. I'm thinking, Howard Johnson's the reason I know that. We stayed at Howard Johnson's, and we went and had breakfast the next morning down in their restaurant there. Well, if I had set it up, I'd say, "Elijah, go down there to Howard Johnson's." And you go and you go and stay there at Howard Johnson's, and they got someone to come and clean the room every day, and they'll change the sheets, and hey, there's a restaurant there, and you can eat. There'll be plenty of food for you. And if I was writing the story, I would have said, "Hey, this boy was healthy and he never got sick." But God said, "I want Elijah to learn something. And I'm going to let the water stop, and I'm going to let the raven stop. And then I'm going to have him go to a widow where it doesn't look too promising, that's about to die of starvation. And I'm going to show him. I'm going to take care of him there." And when the little boy dies, and all of a sudden, the joy seems to be go out of the room. God said, "I'm going to show him something mighty." Elijah was a great man of God, wasn't he? Did many, many, many miracles. I believe one of the reasons why was because God was perfecting him. When the trials came, he did not give up. He kept on going. He was learning all the time. He understood that things don't always go as you want them to go. He understood that sometimes there's difficult times. But he understood too that, as we've been saying, God is truly good all the time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for the time this evening. Thank you for the dear people here tonight. We're a bunch of people that go through some difficulties from time to time. Lord, we're a people that have a God, same God Elijah had. Same God that little widow woman had. When it seemed like no hope, there was always hope because of you. Lord, help us learn in the trials of life. May we not run and give up and say, well, God, you must not. No, may we realize, God, we're going to do whatever you say, and when the things don't turn out as we see, they think they should. Understand, you don't send us with the idea that everything's going to go well. There's going to be difficulties. But God, you'll see us through. Lord, this is something every one of us need to get tonight. For all of us will go through some difficulties and trials.